Welcome to Photography Insights, the show that interviews people from the photography world. And today we're moving away from the corona and I'm trying to go back to interviewing as normal. There is some slight changes at the minute. I'm not doing any random questions. This is a very informal interview that coincided with the coronavirus. As you all know from the previous episode, we split up this long interview into two segments, one more about Corona and one a little bit more about the magazine and what they're doing. So please do welcome back Karis and Marwan from Silvergrain Classics. Both Marwan and Karis are both very active on social media and always in touch with the film community. If you haven't already seen, there's some lovely video footage of them working with their son and developing colour T41 at home, which was a really nice thing to see that there's people behind this brand and not just some random business. For those of you who haven't already seen the magazine, please do check it out. It's a fabulous analogue dream, to be honest. They feature some really interesting and amazing artists. I've been lucky enough to interview one of them, which was the Jan Schlegel one, who did a lot of the Palladium prints. Anyways, links to the magazine and their website will of course follow in the show notes, and I will get my website sorted for this too. So please sit back, listen to this show where we talk about large format enlargers, positivity, coming articles, Kodak and Tetinol changes, film industry relationships, Cibachrome printing, documenting Corona, supporting the community, and AK-47s and Deers. I hope you do enjoy this one, so let's wait for the music before we bring on our guests. And welcome everybody. Today we are joined by two lovely guests from Germany who are in charge of Silvergrain Classics.
Hi Andrew, thanks Hello. For having us.
Hello Andrew.
No problem. Thanks for coming on. We do appreciate you have a lot to do and a lot of people to chat with as well.
Yeah, that's also true, yeah. Although it's getting to be late our time here, so you're our last person to chat with this evening, I think.
So, I thought it'd be good to just, you know, briefly talk to you guys about photography. So,
yeah, we were just saying that we opened up the studio in March last year.
Exactly. Yeah, that was the Silvergrain Studio Lab, which is part of the Silvergrain Classics family. Mm-hmm. And yeah, next to Frankfurt and Bad Nauheim, we started. A seminar place where we are offering nearly, well, everything around analog photography and cinematography. So we have a scanning area, we have with drum scanners, we do have a dark room equipped with nearly everything what you could imagine, up to 5x7 inch, that's the biggest enlarger we have, and we have on top of that, a studio where we just use lighting techniques and, well, where we do also our workshops, the indoor shoots with different light setups and how to use light in the right way, light metering and all that stuff. And, well, the first year was kind of a planning phase to see, does everything work well, or is where are things to improve, how we can do our workshops better, and all the things about the workflow. Well, we had the first workshops now for this year, and they were partly all sold out, luckily, and we were quite happy. Ooh. But then Corona came, so.
Yeah, it's really kind of frustrating to have the feeling that we just worked the kinks out of the new setup and we're really getting going and had some great people coming in and everybody was having fun and the word was starting to get around and And then it all abruptly ground to a halt, which is it's very frustrating. So we've been scrambling to try to bring some online content in to replace some of that. So we've just started bringing out some new videos, and we're planning to do some interactive webinar workshop things, some stuff with gear and some, different kinds of tutorials, but also through our work with the magazine, we have a lot of contacts to real industry leaders, people that are very interesting to talk to and get their take on what's going on. So we're hoping to do some virtual town hall meetings, which would be also a chance for people to interact with industry leaders, not just kind of typing in a question and then having the presenter ask the question, but actually interacting themselves. So yeah, we're excited to get that up. But since none of us are really IT professionals over here, it's taking a while for us to get everything really get all the bugs worked out. So we're hoping to get that going in the next couple of weeks to replace some of our workshops.
Well, we had a today I had a longer discussion with Jürgen Heiland from Heiland Electronics, and they are just designing. It's nearly ready. A new generation of large format enlargers. Did last year we had an we had an article about that. The biggest enlarger that was designed after more than 40 years, a total new system, and he just got out now a new generation, and it's already been ready to ship to China in the next 8 to 9 weeks, and we will get one of the first models into our lab. And we just discussed today how we're going to bring it in, how we're going to install it, and just do a kind of a video how it works. So there are some exciting things going on, but it is kind of difficult because we never did things like that before. So we have to check the the setups, and on the other hand, I mean, the magazine itself is something that is definitely not so depending on Corona. I mean, because the backbone was always our online shop where you just could order it, and we ship it worldwide now to 50 countries now. And we noticed that people are starting to also buy bundles in a certain amount, because I think some people, they just want to fill the time, and reading is one possibility to do that. So some people order the first issue, the sorry, number six, the rebranded Silvergreen Classics, and then suddenly they just order afterwards, a day later, the five others before. So that's something we experience. But again, I
That's
mean,
good.
it's a tough time, and so also I think our next issue is also influenced by that.
Yeah, that's true.
The total planning we had was a total different one. I mean, you cannot just go on and just make an issue like nothing happened.
Well, our next issue is going to be coming out. It's the summer issue, if you will. And my original plan was to have it be a travel-themed issue, which obviously, under the circumstances, would not be a good choice. So,
Well, yeah. Oh, bless you.
So we kind of had to juggle all the content around.
We had already an arrangement with Lufthansa about the new scanners which they had on airports, and how can you travel in the best way or to interesting destinations. It was all set up. Now, I think even Lufthansa is about to be in a very, very difficult situation. So things are not the same as they were a few weeks ago.
But fortunately, we always have quite a few ideas for articles, quite a few more ideas than we can possibly fit into the next year of issues. So we were able to juggle things together pretty quickly and put together a new concept. But we will also be featuring some interesting articles that have at least touch on life during this pandemic. We're going to have one of our authors has a background in art therapy for different kinds of problems, including post-traumatic stress syndrome and depression. And he finds that particularly film photography, because of the mindful nature of it, is really well suited, just as well suited as painting, which is kind of the classic, you know, getting to be mindful of your surroundings. And yeah, so we're going to have an article about that. And also, I know you do architecture photography. Well, we're going to be featuring some photography like that, that where under the circumstances, it takes on a slightly different feeling, just from the point of view of the people looking at the pictures, because there aren't any people in the architecture. And suddenly, instead of it seeming like abstract pictures, it just looks like how the world is right now. And I think that's a very interesting thing, that the pictures themselves have not changed, but how we see them has under the circumstances. And so we're going to have a few themes like that. But we also want to keep it from being a downer, if you will. There's it's not the end of the world.
A doomsday issue or something.
Yeah,
like
exactly.
That,
you
know? Yeah. Goodbye, everybody.
No, we've got our regular contributor and really sort of elder statesman, Bruce Bonbaum, will be back contributing, and he's going to be talking about how he's dealing with it. And in a very constructive way, I think he's going through a whole bunch of negatives that he's had over the years and reevaluating them and finding a lot of really pleasant surprises, and also finding, you know, that famous Ansel Adams quote that the negative is the score of the music and the print is the performance. And he's finding that some of his negatives need new performances now at this point in his life. So I think there's a lot of people who are also finding that way to look at things, which I think is super healthy. And it's wonderful that he's going to be able to share that with our readers.
That's really cool. It's really nice that I think that's something I love, and it's something I've started getting into more, like the therapeutic sort of side. And you know, obviously my one knows why I set that group up. I've done I think you'll know some of the artists in there, like Mads Madison and Nils Carlson. There's people like that. You see their work everywhere. It's very different from everybody else. It's either painting sort of look, or it's so abstract, it's more like a surreal picture. I mean, I've never seen things like theirs. And it's fabulous to have people like that in the group. And even people like Nils has been open in the group about issues in the past. So that was sort of like the main reason I set this group up. But you know, recently I've thought, we need to cheer people up a little bit. So I've been doing some more fun things with them. And I think that's important, because like you say, some of us are a bit more positive than others. Some of us that have carried on working, we haven't seen too much change in a way.
The struggle to find toilet paper. I think that's everybody's common denominator right now.
Yes.
It's crazy, isn't it?
Exactly, yeah.
Who knew?
That's worldwide. You know, even Ashley in Australia said the same thing. Because I've called it a famous quote, he's going to remember, which was my kingdom for a toilet roll.
Yeah, it's completely true. I mean, it's really mad, but I'm sure that's one of the things we will remember is, you know, I got up to be at the store at 8 o'clock so I could see if I could find some toilet paper. But I went to 5 different stores and none of them had any. So, but
oh god,
yeah. But we got lucky this morning, so we're good. We're good for a while.
It's crazy though that we're talking about such trivial things.
I know, but they're not trivial. You know, suddenly they're not trivial anymore. It's like you've taken it so for granted that you can just, you know, okay, oh, we're running out, put it on the list and get some, you know, and suddenly it's not a trivial thing anymore. It's really, it's an eye opener, I guess.
And I think we've said the same thing about services. So over here, they've done this thing at 8 o'clock on a Friday night. Everyone's supposed to go outside and clap.
Right.
And it's to support the National Health Service workers.
Right.
And they're doing it all over the country, you know, thousands of people out. We're leaving little drawings and sellotaping them to our dustbins.
Mm-hmm.
For our dustbin men, and I watched him come and pick ours up, and he took a picture of it, and he, you know, such a smile on his face.
Oh, that's lovely. That's great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And why can't we be like that?
Well, we can be
every day,
obviously. Oh, you mean every day? Yeah. Yeah, it's true. I think just being every day, being thankful for small things, is definitely a healthy way to live. And I mean, it's not good to put pressure on yourself, like, okay, if I'm not a positive person, then I must be horrible, because that, you know, that's not going to help either. But
well, if you see everything every day positive, I think you have a problem too, because things are not positive every day. So it should be a good mixture. So
yeah,
that's right. Yeah,
yeah, exactly.
I think
yeah.
a good balance is important. Yeah,
sometimes you should.
Yeah, that's probably,
seriously.
Probably your dustbin man. If he got like a note from every person every day on every garbage can, he would also be annoyed within the week. You know, it's like, oh, God, another one of these notes. I've got to take it off, and it's more garbage for me. And, you know, you know, it's a lovely gesture, but it's finding the balance is really the key, isn't it?
Yeah. I think the main thing is supporting those everyday workers that before were not thought about at all.
Right.
So they've done it in certain areas.
Unfortunately, just coming back to photography, we have that difficult situation that, as you mentioned before, that a lot of people just lost their jobs where they were counting on, especially those who are doing the wedding photography and all that stuff. And if they don't have a job this year, it's like, I mean, if you are a car manufacturer, you maybe sell the car next, double the amount of cars next year, because people who are not buying a car this year maybe buy one next year, and so the amount is double, but the amount of weddings will not increase, and or the amount of funerals or whatever, you know, it's kind of some events, they just happen at a certain point, and it's very difficult to repeat them, and that's where photography takes place, and a lot of people, they live from that. Yeah, and it's kind of depressing sometimes when you talk with photographers that they never made lots of money, and it was enough, and it was also their passion, so they just said, okay, we love it. These are the stories you kind of hear quite often, and even when we talk with Bruce, I think he was also kind of disappointed about the situation, and it's especially that, especially in art, it's a difficult thing.
Yes. One of the changes I had to make to the magazine was that we had actually planned to be featuring John Sexton. He unfortunately had to postpone his feature with us because all of his workshops were canceled. And of course, and that's what he lives from over there. And so that's quite a difficult thing to just suddenly make up for. And so even people who are really recognized names, where you think, oh, I'm sure they're fine, you know, they don't have a problem. It doesn't really work that way for a lot of people.
Yeah.
You know, you just count on things going on as they have done. And suddenly it's like the rug has been pulled out from underneath them. So I think it's not just, you know, your neighborhood wedding photographer. I think a lot of people in a lot of different areas, in the arts in general, of course, but in photography also are definitely, they've been affected.
Yeah, you're right. I think there's been so much going on. I mean, you know, recently we had Kodak announcing about this investment to try and upscale a bit, and you're just like, you know, what timing? It's just unbelievable. Now, obviously, things are COVID's going to affect them. And I know in America they've done fantastic things to help the health industry there, which is nice to see. But not everybody can do that.
Right.
I think Technol did something as well. Was it making soap or hand
Honestly, I can't
sanitizer?
tell you, but normally Tidinal is, well, they have a chemical plant. That means they just can switch to different other processes. That's what they did in the past. Very often they did. Theoretically, they can do dishwasher taps if they would like to. So it's just a question how they're going to switch to it. And I mean, if that keeps these companies running, I mean, that's a great thing. On the other hand, what's going to happen afterwards? Will the economy be powerful enough that photography is luxury. But it always was, because people are just saying, oh, prices will extremely explode. If you just compare prices today to prices in the 1950s or 60s, you'll be surprised how expensive it was for people to spend a roll of film. Super 8 is a very, very good example. You just go in the 1960s, a roll of Kodachrome was nearly the same price like it was later in the early 2000s. So for them, wow. I mean, it was in Germany, it was 20 marks, one roll of Kodachrome. In 1960s, that was unbelievable lot of money. I think that people will afford it. They always did, and passion is something, you just want to do it, even if you just eat one steak less that week. That's my fault, you know.
Yes, I'm with you on that. I would leave all the things out so I could shoot a bit of film here and there. Without a doubt.
We're kind of hoping that people are going to keep supporting the entire community. I mean, there's so many different, you know, I think that that's one of the things that we have seen is that the entire film shooter community no longer stands on a few giant column legs. You know, it's really supported by so many small enterprises, and we all need to support each other. You know, there isn't the sense of real cutthroat competition anymore. People, even the bigger firms, they're not trying to drive each other out of a business. You know, it's not like, oh, we have to get their share or something. It's usually they really understand that it's all interconnected now, and it's such a niche that we all need to help each other to survive. And I think that is something that is that we notice a lot when we're talking to industry partners and that kind of thing. That it's a real eye opener, at least it was for me, that it's not at all the kind of cutthroat business that you might expect, you know, heard about the heyday and what it was like. It's a transformed industry, and I think the people who are working in the different parts of the industry are quite different than they used to be, and it's a very supportive community. The smaller players and the bigger players, and everybody knows that we all need each other. So that gives me hope that we're going to keep on for everybody.
I think so. Yeah, I think you're right. I think all parts of it rely on each other. We're nothing without film. And, you know, Kodak's and Ilford's a note about people without chemicals. And then there's packaging companies, isn't there? So we're all entwined.
And also the smaller suppliers, you know, like the round the corner shops are coming back. They're making a comeback, which I think is wonderful. You know, I hope that not too many of them will go under because of this crisis. And I hope that they're all managing to, you know, sell stuff online. But I think it's really, really good that, you know, after having had all the 24-hour photo places disappear, that some of them are actually starting to reappear, and there's a sense of, we'd like to have an actual face-to-face community where we meet people and can go and ask about stuff. And I'm hoping that that will survive this crisis. That obviously, just like us and many other organizations, a lot of people are having to scramble and provide online content. But I hope that doesn't become the norm, you know, that you say, oh, okay, well, I can just do this online. I can get the instruction. I'll do some virtual instruction rather than go into a workshop, you know. I think that would be a real shame. But I think in a way, it's less likely to happen to the analog community because we tend to be very hands-on type of people, I think. So that we're less likely to be happy with doing everything virtually over a screen or whatever, you know. Sometimes oh, it's nice to meet you this way, don't get me wrong.
Of course.
But
Appreciate that.
I would hate for like the actual in-person workshops and meetups and little shops and things to disappear. So I'm hoping to that everybody will find ways to support their local businesses and all the different members of the community.
I mean, at the end of the day, how do you want to do a portrait shoot? I mean, you just can't. I mean, you can't do it online. So that I sit here with my analog camera and take a photo of your LCD screen. You know, it's kind
It's yeah, it'd be ridiculous, wouldn't it?
has to
It, I mean, you could do it
provide
as
a real studio situation, and just having gas masks is not really a solution then. So we just have to do the next step.
Yeah, very true.
I think when we come out of this, we're going to see a lot of cases of people needing some help.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, the problem is at the moment, really, those families who really need help, they are also locked in now, and nobody can help them. And it scares me a bit. Just, I mean, there's always a reason why things are going wrong, and it's kind of, yeah, it's nothing bad or nothing. It's definitely not good, but it's also not bad. But people, yeah, they're just their families are really suffering now because they can't go out, and there's maybe violence involved and all that stuff. And I'm really sorry about these kids who are just really under a prison situation, and they just can't get out. But on the other hand, I think there are a lot of people who are just now have the time to share time and just to talk to each other, which they couldn't do because so everything has its positive and negative aspects.
I actually interviewed someone who works on the front line. That's what I was doing last night. It's just like a last minute thing. He's actually works as like an anaesthetist assistant. That's a hard word. So he has the most dangerous job out there because obviously COVID's a breathing issue, and he's there in their faces, putting the thing in their mouths to help them breathe, to put them on the defibrillators and things like that. And I mean, he was telling me the stuff he has to wear. You know, it's like one pair of surgical gloves, and then they'll put another outfit over the top of it, and then another pair of gloves. And everything's having to be sort of bodged together. So you have to poke a hole in to get the second pair on because no one's ever been here before. And actually, he's an analog photographer. And quite interesting, the local hospital are allowing him to document it.
Oh, that is very interesting.
Yes, so I'll pass you his
Yeah,
details.
please.
That would be really
That would be
interesting, yeah.
great.
And I must say, he is a fabulous photographer and an even better person.
It's funny how often that goes together, isn't it? I mean,
It
obviously you
is.
hear about the real jerks who are still great artists, but I mean, a lot of the time the things that I really personally connect with the most, when I hear about the people behind them, I just love the person behind them. I think the personality shows through the art so often.
Just recently, we
I think
had
you're
that
right.
picture from Christopher Burkett.
Yes.
That's it wasn't one of our issues. We had a cover of him. Christopher Burkett is a large format photographer and one of the few remaining Cibachrome printers.
Okay, see the chromium.
And he does amazing things. And Akaris was so impressed about that that she also bought a print from him. So just a few days ago, we just had it on the table. We were going to frame it. And we had an interview with him via Skype. And it was really like you're talking to a nice man. He looks a bit like Santa Claus, and you just really have a very, very nice feeling about that nice uncle on the other side of the computer. And his pictures are definitely that way, you know. It's
Yeah, his sense of spirituality definitely comes through. Yeah. And I think that, yeah, that happens so often. So I'd definitely be interested to see your friend's pictures then. So.
Yeah, he's put a couple up on Facebook already. But obviously he's pretty busy at the minute. So
So he's allowed
yeah, I
to take the
mean,
camera into the hospital or just into the places, and
yes.
he's taking photos there and okay.
Yeah, the only thing he said he won't do is take pictures of patients.
Okay.
And I totally
Yeah,
respect
sure.
him.
Absolutely,
He
yeah.
because someone posted one in a Facebook group. Last week, and obviously he noticed this and I didn't. The person was in distress. I mean, it was horrible. And I think the photographer was doing it to get attention. And he was egging a lot of people on in the comments. And I was just like, this is not a documentary work.
I saw that post as well.
You did, right? Yeah. I mean, everyone can have their opinion. That's fine. And no one will know the intention unless the person says so, but because they weren't clear with it, I think that's the issue. And David, my friend, he's very honest. He's gone through the channels to get it authorized. So basically, he works with a XA2 or an XA3 because it's like he can just put it on his he can just dangle it on something around him, so he can keep it with him at all times. It's small enough. And he's shooting like HP5 at 800, and I think he's trying some at 1600 now.
That will give you a bit like this Vietnam photographer view with, I think it has a 35 millimeter lens, so we just you have this
Yes, yeah.
typical war zone photography feeling.
Yeah, and he says he feels so lucky that he's able to do it, and I'm like, I'm more concerned about you staying healthy, mate.
Yeah, of course. Of course.
But he's saying, he's wearing the perfect equipment all the time. They don't take any risks. And he's a very healthy guy. So
Knock on
I think
wood.
we'll be, I think we'll be fine. But it's nice because there's people like that out there, and he's another guy that I've interviewed. And like you're saying, Kerry, I've interviewed these people, and you get this nice buzz, and you feel like you can talk for hours. I often become friends with people afterwards, and I feel it's a nice element that adds to it.
No, I totally agree. Yeah. I mean, we found that also even before the whole corona crisis that one of the nicest things about the whole magazine project, I suppose you could call it, has been just getting to know the different artists that we've interviewed and really such interesting lives so many of them have had. And they're usually so giving and really interesting and lovely people, and it's really one of the best perks of the whole project
Not
is
only the
coming in.
artists, not only the artists. I just have to also to say that those companies who are still doing analog photography equipment, for example, if you just go for a company like Jobo, where they for 90 years now into photography, for them it is family business, and they just keep on. Or Mirko, for example, is just. I mean, he could do other things,
From
and really,
Adox,
yeah, Mirko from Photo Impex, Adox. I mean, this guy was in 2005, really just getting tons of equipment together because he was waiting for the day that things should come back. And yeah, you have to be a bit crazy, I think, on one side, but on the other side, you have to really passion and you have to love something to do that. And you just notice that with a lot of people. Mm. Or I was in the, when I was just, I was at, one of the sad feelings was when we had the Titinal bankruptcy case. I was there in the consulting part, and you could see all these people there. Some of them were absolute specialists in what they were doing. And you just could see, okay, if this just ends, all this knowledge will go away. And how they just started to go on with it and just say, you know what, we tried ourselves, we're going to buy the rest of the company with our money and we just do the best out of it. So that's really amazing. These things are definitely great.
Yeah,
I think they all do amazing. Everyone's important to it.
Yeah, it's a lovely interconnected community. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the producers and the users and usually the people who are doing the producing in the industry, they're also, you know, photographers themselves. It's quite rare that you get, you know, heads of firms who have nothing to do with photography. You know, they're kind of part of the community instead of just being, okay, I'm a businessman, I'm gonna run this like a business and
I think
make money.
If they were really businessmen, they would not do that. They would do something different.
Yes.
Toilet paper manufacturing.
Maybe. The next crisis to sell toilet paper, you know, be prepared. Have a bunker full of toilet paper.
Oh, boy. Yeah.
That's why I love these people. Do you know Lomig at Washing?
Oh, yeah. Yes. He sent us. Unfortunately, he just sent us. Just a few days before the crisis started, a new film on paper. And we were just planning to do a photo walk with that. Unfortunately, photo walks do contain more than three people. So we can't do that now. We're just waiting for better times. But Lomig's great,
yeah. He is his ace. And I'm doing a project with him at the minute as well. It's been going on probably about 6 months. So we had a laugh and joke last year when I interviewed him about using a tape recorder for some reason, and it must have stayed in my mind at some point. And then I came up with this idea, this project. I said, I'd love to send a camera around different countries with your film on. Mm-hmm. And he's like, let's do it. So he says, I'll build you the camera.
Oh, cool.
So he built a 72 exposure one-shot camera, sent me it over, and I said, oh, well, this is what we're going to do. I'm going to send a tape recorder with it, and you have to speak into the tape recorder who you are and what you're doing.
You're talking about a tape recorder with tape? I mean, real tape?
With tape.
Okay.
Yes.
Good old stuff. Okay, good.
So that took a while to find. A working one, anyway. And it was really poor. I got a really bad format, really, but I was trying to keep it compact to fit in a small box. Mm-hmm. So it was like a mini tape. Mm-hmm. But it's the same thing. So I sent that with the camera around, and we're about six or seven photographers in, and obviously COVID happened. Mm. So we'll see how it happens. And at one stage, one of the photographers says it got jammed, so I had to get it sent back to Lomig, who had a look in the dark room sort of thing. And he said, it's actually all right. So he sent it back to me again. So fingers crossed it's back out of there. But that it's another thing I love doing. If I had spare cameras, I would be sending them out everywhere.
Yeah. I've just been trying to put together a virtual film quiz night like you do in a pub. But
do you know what? I've been thinking about that as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We just had our first trial run today, and because I didn't know the platform before, it was kind of like, well, how do we sign in? I don't know. I've never done this. But most people were successful and signed in. I was surprised.
I was not.
You weren't. Yeah. He was the only one who wasn't successful in signing in. Oh, gosh. All right. So, but.
Well, I was thinking of using.
Like, didn't know the answer. I thought I was making the questions way too easy.
Oh, you didn't know that,
really? Okay, it's quite funny.
Yeah, I think that's a nice thing to do, isn't it? I think I'm definitely going to try it because this tool I use, we can do things like you can put your hand up. So we could realistically do a little quite a quiz thing.
Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
This was kind of like a, it had three answers and you had to choose A, B, or C. And then you'd get
Okay.
your score and you'd say who's the leaderboard and all that kind of stuff. So, yeah.
Yeah.
But it was
Well,
fun.
they use things like that. No, it's good. They use things like that in schools anyway.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, the teacher will ask a question. You could have individual iPads
Oh.
or Android devices, and you just select your answer. So no one knows who's put their answer in. Yeah, there's good stuff like that in schools.
Oh, cool. I guess it hasn't quite gotten over to our schools here, or
Well,
perhaps
Germany is always a bit late with these things.
has to
People
be
are
approved first.
kind of a conservative with new ideas. Especially
Yeah,
analog
but
photography, it's one of the things. I mean, on one side you have a lot of you had a lot of people who are still shooting on film, but there is another group that is so extremely to convince, because especially, for example, in advertising, all over the world, you can see that, especially in the UK, a lot of big advertisings campaign are done on film again. Here in Germany, it is kind of difficult. The agencies, they just say, why on film? It's too expensive. Although it is not really more expensive than doing it digital. And sometimes it's even less expensive. We have there very good contact with Silbersalz 35. Maybe you heard about that film. That's Kodak Vision 3, Silbersalz 35 millimeter. And these guys are so successful in doing advertising films on film. A 35 millimeter film. And yeah, in Germany, it's very difficult to get that established because they still think you have to do it digital, otherwise, it's not competitive or whatever.
Yeah. You can't change everybody in every industry, though, can you?
No, definitely not. But I mean, I think it's going to be interesting to see how that develops. I think at some point, this whole, I think for me, it's such a ridiculous debate, film or digital. So why do we have to have an either-or question here, people? Can we, I mean, they're both great, and why not use them, if, you know, for this, for that, you know, and decide on a case-by-case basis. I don't understand this whole feeling like, all right, if film comes back, then digital is going to be like so out, or oh, digital has replaced film and nobody uses film. It's like, you know what? I think there's really case to be made for each, depending on what you're doing at the moment and what kind of aesthetic you want and all sorts of things. So I'm really hoping that we're going to get to that point very soon, so that there's not going to be this feeling of, oh, you're doing film, you must think you're so
Like
la-di-da,
a
or
painter who says, "Oh, you're painting in on oil. There's acrylic paints now. Why are you doing that?"
Yeah,
Or
it's a stupid
tactical rather.
argument, isn't it?
Right, yeah.
Yeah, I remember talking to I think he was in your magazine. Was it Jan
Oh,
Schlegel?
yeah, Jan. Yes, yes, yes.
Yeah. Oh, he was a fabulous guest. Absolutely loved him.
He's
And
a.
his work is amazing.
Yeah.
It's so difficult to get that printed, by the way. It's my, I mean, it's kind of if you
Yeah.
have these prints in original, and we really try to get really a good print result in the magazine, but it never matches really the original. On the other hand, if you don't know the original, I think, yeah, it's quite good, you know. But again, I mean, it's this, but he does really wonderful work.
Yeah, I mean, I looked at it and I honestly said, I think it's the best portrait I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah, he's done really wonderful stuff. Yeah, we were so happy to have him as our cover artist.
Yeah.
It's difficult for us sometimes because it has to be a square format because of the way our magazine is set up. And, you know, we don't want to just go cropping people's images Yeah, so that was it was really, really nice that we
But
could
most of the
find
time,
something
we
that
asked
worked.
for the permission to crop it.
Most of the time. Oh, 100%.
100%, yes.
Never crop something without asking someone. But also sometimes you have the permission, but there's, you know, the images, once you start cropping them to a square, they don't work,
They're
you
not gonna
know?
work, yeah.
And then you kind of think, all right, the great stuff. Love to use it on the cover, but we can't make it fit into the. So I was so happy when we got one of his
Especially that last Kodachrome article, Death in Venice, one of the last issues. We had one image that was really great, but you had to crop it, and in that moment, it was not really the same as it was before.
Okay.
Yeah, that was a real shame
Yeah,
as
we
well.
didn't take it then, so that was,
Yeah.
but yeah.
But we had Bruce Barnbaum then, so that was also quite nice.
And he also is not a friend of Square, so.
It's true, we were quite lucky about that.
I mean, you've had amazing people in the magazine. You just look at it and I think, I want to interview them, I want to interview them, I want to interview them. Because they're all so different as well.
Yeah, that's one of the nice things about you know, our intention is to make it really truly global. And that can be quite a challenge, honestly, putting together I know we there are some magazines where they just have their set of authors and they kind of do an email and say, okay, what do you guys feel like contributing this issue? And then they just stick whatever people feel like contributing in together, you know? But we've always had the feeling that it really needs to be a coherent concept for each issue. And that can be a real challenge to put together because we don't want to have, you know, five portfolios from the United States, you know, or something like that. And honestly, it's a real challenge to find great photographers who are not white males. And there are so many out there, but I mean, you know,
Yes.
it's really, if you just don't pay attention to it, you can very easily end up with a few issues that are just white males, and it's not representative of the global film community then. And so and we also try to balance different formats and black and white and color. And so, you know, we usually have six portfolios per issue. And then you think about, okay, we want to represent, you know, several different areas of the world, styles, different formats. We want to have, you know, different ethnic groups if possible, and not all men. And at some point, it really gets to be quite the balancing act to find sets of things that really go together well in the same issue and still cover the broad spectrum that we like to cover. So,
And we don't want to be a black and white magazine. That's the next thing.
right.
On the other hand, I mean, there are so many great photographers in history, but we want to have also a contemporary magazine. That means what are the ideas today? How is photography? It's not the We're not talking about film photography in the 1990s or 1980s. We're talking about 21st century film photography. And the approach today is a total different one than it was 30 years ago, in the heydays of film. But I think we have heydays of film again, just on a smaller scale. And I think even that although it's one possible tool to make photos, analog photography, we have now a more interesting situation than it was, let's say, in the 70s or 80s, where everybody did in fact nearly the same. I mean, just because they had only film photography.
No, that's true. It's
I
definitely
have never heard, by the
happening.
way, in the 80s or 90s when I started really to be interested in film photography, Palladium print was not really the thing I heard about much, or who was doing wet plate or whatever. I mean, that was really
Cyanotypes, yeah.
cyanotypes, and we have now all these things, or lomography. I mean, or some people putting their films in microwave ovens. You know, it's kind of all these things are now analog photography, and that makes it really kind of a huge variety.
Yeah, I think another thing that we notice with our readers is very interesting is that some people have this impression that film photographers must be kind of the older set. They never really went over to digital, and so they just stuck with film. Either that or the opposite end of the spectrum, the lamographers who, they're just kind of going out and seeing what happens and a little bit happy-go-lucky with it, but not that concerned with their handicraft, as it were. But what we have in our readership, what we see is that the largest portion of our readers is between 25 and 40. And so definitely not like the hipsters, and also not the older generation. It's people who they maybe they had a film camera when they were quite small, but they got into digital photography pretty early, and it seems to coexist very happily with them. They almost all of them have both film and digital cameras. And they tend to be very, very well read, and world open people. And I think that's one of the things that I really, really like about our community is that it's quite a tolerant group of people. Of course, you've got the exceptions, and you always see them in the forums, and they're bashing on each other. But
That's also in the rabbit breeders forum or kind of all bird breeders forums. I think they have the same problem.
Maybe
So,
it's just a problem with forums. I don't know,
yes.
but I think on the whole, I really appreciate the analog community. I think it's a lovely, inclusive bunch of people for the most part.
Yeah, I love it. And I hope too many people don't take it up because I like being unique. Especially like in my group of friends. So I did a couple of night sessions because I've basically only been in studio once. I don't have the money to go in studio. So we shoot friends and young ladies who just want to try it. So we were on the streets. I take out an umbrella, a flash, and so I just say to my mate, can you just meet it for me a second, and then I'll gauge if I think I need to put another extra stop in depending on what film I'm using. And the photos were just amazing, just on bridges. And I matched the model's hair color to the background of the bridge, so I placed her in the right areas and she really liked them. And my mates just say to me, I don't know how you can do that, Andy, because you don't know what you're getting.
You can't see it.
No. And you're like, I'll get it
It's
developed maybe next month. And you're like, how can you do that?
Yeah, this whole concept of pre-visualization, it was so important, like to the great artists, and I think you read about it so often that the people who have shaped what we think of as photography today, they all thought pre-visualization was really the most important part of it. And they almost didn't really even need to see their negatives develop. They knew what was going to be on them. They had already seen the picture, and that was the whole process, snapping the shutter and then developing, yeah, okay, whatever. And then you get into the printing process, which is another part of the art. But the thing that a lot of people think about as being photography, like snapping the picture and then looking at the LCD screen, that was the part that the people who really shaped photography for us found least interesting,
I mean, especially if you just see the, I would even call it nearly perverted situation that you take 10 or 12 frames per second. Let's say you do a portrait shoot and then you just choose the best one out of it. It's kind of, I don't think that it's really, it's like you're going hunting with an AK-47 on deers. So, and you say, oh, today I shot so many deers, unbelievable. I mean, it's great. And Yeah, although I even don't think that hunting is that big sport, but again, I mean, there's something missing. Oh,
Well, I mean, but if you're on the other hand, if you want to go out and do wildlife photography, it's sure a lot harder if you're doing that on film than the digital camera. You know, there's always going to be places where, you know,
yes.
or if you're doing extreme low light,
Yeah,
and
I mean, an
there's
eagle
always
catching
things.
a fish. I mean, I agree that 12 frames per second are the minimum you have to have in order to get a good shot. But I mean, just making a portrait of someone and you just shoot at him or at her, and you just and then you just see, okay, let's take the best one out of it and look how good I am. And the rest is done by artificial intelligence of my software.
Well, I think that's also it's a difference in philosophy because there are people whose work I think is really interesting, and I stop and look at. You know, I probably wouldn't put it on my wall, but I think that's one of the things that I use to judge people. Does it interest me enough that I stop and look at it? You know, who use their camera just as a way to get something to work from, and then they do their art in the editing room. Now, you know, there are some people who will say that's not photography anymore, that's editing, or that's, you know, some sort of form of computer literacy. But you know, I do believe that that can be art. It's just a completely different kind of art than what we think of as traditional photography, I think. So it's always possible to go in the different skill sets, and as long as you're actually creating something with intention, then I think it's totally relevant, and it can be great stuff. But I think what Mavan was just saying is like this sort of haphazard approach of aiming your camera in the right direction, and then the software gives you know, something nice out of it, and then you take it home and you use somebody else's preset, you know, to create something, and that doesn't seem like art. It's kind of a nice pastime, you know, and you can get some nice photos and whatever, but you're not creating anything intentionally, as far as I'm concerned. But I don't think that you have to say you can only create art film or you can only create art, you know, using digital. I think there's definitely ways to be creative in any medium.
Well, there are also high-speed film cameras. They just do 20 frames per second. That's theoretically also possible.
Oh, that seems like a waste. Boy, yeah, I learn something every day. My whole violinist thing here. I'm just learning about the Texas Leica that's going to be featured in our next issue as well. So now I'm learning all about the Texas Leica from one of our authors. Yeah.
It doesn't even have 12 frames, so it's kind of so not even per second or per minute or per hour.
Yeah.
That's fair.
It is. It is fun. It's like totally broadening my horizons.
I do appreciate your time. I know we've gone a bit later than anticipated.
Oh, it's been lovely. Thank you so much. It was really great to talk to you again.
So I hope you, when the things are over, then if you just come by the Frankfurt area, just pay us a visit. It would be nice to have you here just one day if we just after the crisis. And maybe you're an Elvis fan because you're in Bad Nauheim. Elvis was had his villa just around the corner. So
He
you visit.
always brings
Oh,
that up.
wow. Elvis is ace, so.
Okay. All right. Yeah, so
No,
definitely
that's
come by
cool.
and visit us.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. Please keep the magazine up. It's great to see you on Facebook. It was lovely to see the video you son doing the color C41.
Yeah.
I thought that was
We
great.
had a really fun time doing that.
Yes.
Yeah, we're gonna keep doing some other stuff with them, so yeah.
It's nice to see a bit of
They're
online
good guinea
content.
pigs. That's yeah.
No, that's what's important to me. That's the real world. It's all right setting up in a studio and delivering a perfect thing, but I'm about people, so I thought it was ace. So thank you very much, Karis and Marwan, for coming on. So thank you so much. Please stay
You
safe.
too,
Yes, take care of yourself.
Yeah, will do. And I'll be in touch with my friend's details. All
Great,
right.
would be great.
wonderful.
Take care.
Okay, take care.
Thank
Have a
you
good night.
so much.
Bye.
Good night. Bye. Hey guys, I just wanted to say thank you so much for listening to that episode. I do appreciate you supporting the show. Any feedback is always welcome, positive or negative. It's all important. So do please carry on leaving the reviews on iTunes, or if you don't access to an iOS device, consider leaving a Facebook review. Now, I hope you do check out my website, flogger.co.uk, which is PHLOGGER.co.uk, and you'll see links to all these amazing people we keep interviewing and bringing to you. I do put them there for the benefit of yourselves, and I hope you get something out of that. I do hope anyone who is interested in being on the show is quite welcome to drop me a message. I'm on any of the social media outlets, and tell me why you think I should interview you, and just put forward maybe a little bit of information about yourself and why you think it might be interesting to others. So yeah, honestly, don't ever be scared to reach out to me. Obviously everything has taken a backseat at the minute due to Corona. There's so many of us that are distracted and struggling with focusing at the minute. It's quite hard to even speak here and record something in a sane manner that makes sense, to be honest. So I hope you do bear with me. To get through some of these podcasts has not been easy. The subject matter is obviously quite close to all of our hearts, and we're all feeling a lot of emotions at the minute. Some of them might be anger towards your fellow humans for going out and causing issues, and worry for police and health, and you know, it's not going to stop there. We are going to have issues in the long run with finances and medical needs and supporting people's problems. Now, whether I do any more interviews about Corona, I'm totally unsure at the minute. I obviously put a lot of effort and time into recording all these, and it takes up a lot of effort and my free time, but I do like bringing you this sort of content as well, and it was really nice to focus a little bit on the documentary side in essence. So just keep watch out, but don't be afraid, I do have plans to keep the show going. I've got a few guests I'd like to get involved with, again, all different industries that I've come across. So I hope to be in contact with them soon, and I'm pretty sure you can tell from even some of the things I've said and my voice in some of these recordings, I don't quite feel quite as normal. Maybe I'm not quite as positive as I have been. You know, it's really hard for me to say. I'm only at this end, so yeah, do keep listening. Everything could come back to normal eventually, but I do believe it's important to be real. I always keep talking about this, so I'm not going to hide here and pretend everything is perfect and positive, because that's not the real world. I'm still working as normal. My first Corona update on the podcast was all about this. Work has slowed down somewhat, but with less people on the job, I'm probably just as busy in one sense. Because I'm working from home, it means I'm pretty much non-stop all day, apart from getting up for the odd drink and sort of break like that. So in some ways it's a little bit harder than working from the office, because I don't have people around me to ask things, so I have to carefully consider taking up my colleagues' time and watching out for phone calls from customers. So, you know, it's been a strain on us, and obviously I'm at home so I can hear my family around me, and it's actually been very nice weather in the UK as well, so I've actually been managing to sit outside during my lunch and get a bit of sunshine, which has been really nice. What I did want to also add on is You will soon start seeing me mentoring not sponsors to the show, because that's not a correct term. More friends of the show, I'm sort of calling them. So I'm forming partnerships with good people, is what I say. People that I use, people that I've bought from, and things like this, where they are really good people involved in the community or provide really good services. The first one of these is going to be the gentleman of company I get my films developed with. He trades as filmdev.co.uk, and I've been using him for approximately the last 3, 2.5 years for all my medium format, mainly C41, and then sometimes I send off black and white, usually the blank because I've boxed them up, put them in the wrong place because hey, that's me for you. But he offers amazing service. He's very cheap, so very, very reasonable. Scans are always good. Delivers them within a week, and I've been nothing but happy with his service. He's been so useful. In fact, he first gave me advice on like even sending them off and how to package them, so there was no issues in the post. And I had some issues with missing frames, and due to his experience, he was able to advise me of a couple of things to consider. So that was really useful, and even put me in contact with someone who was really reasonable again to get my camera serviced. That's my Bronica I'm talking about there, guys. So yeah, he's the first person who's going to be a friend of the show. And what we're actually doing for each other is I'm mentioning him on here, and he's forwarding on my business cards. So anyone who uses his services will get them one, will get my card when they get their negatives returned to him. So I can't thank Dave enough. It's been really kind of him to do this, and there's going to be a few more coming up. Obviously, when they happen, I will let you know. So I'll sign off. Please do stay safe. Don't forget, please get in contact with me. Please do keep the reviews and feedback coming. And obviously sign up for the newsletter to find out what's going on with recent works. And as a final note, please don't forget, I have the Facebook group called Photographer's Therapy. In there, it's just a resource for anyone to come in and talk about how they're feeling. It's never ever been designed to showcase your best photos, but due to Corona, we're spreading a bit of positivity, and people are putting all sorts of content in there, and it's just nice for people to come in, share how they're getting on, what they're doing, what they feel they can get away with at the minute. There's bits about charity work that people have done, and it's been nice to learn about each other. So there's been bits about hobbies. I've done a few little tasks in there for a bit of a laugh, and it's got some really good people. So please do check that out. That's Photographers Therapy on Facebook. Otherwise, stay safe, and I'll see you very soon, everybody. Goodbye.